Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles. And this is a show where we deal with mental health issues from a holistic perspective, working with the assumption that we all know that the truth will set you free. But the question is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? Telling the truth faster. And that's the theme of the show. It's the focus of the work that I do with clients, and no matter what the issue that we're dealing with, it's about honesty and communication and being able to do that as quickly as possible so that you're not holding on to thoughts, feelings, and fears and other things that block one's ability to connect with another human being or to feel at peace within yourself. So the quicker you get clear on something that's going on and the quicker it's communicated to the source or somewhere in a healthy way, the faster you're back to a state of equilibrium or balance, and the quicker whatever the issue may be can be worked through. So this is a live call-in show. I won't have a guest on tonight, so if some of you out there listening aren't going to call in, you're just going to be hearing me speaking about intimacy and relationships. And I'd much rather have a dialogue with some of you guys or women and maybe deal with some of the issues that you're facing in your relationships or questions you have or disagree with what I have to say if you so choose. I have no problem with that. I'm not always right. So if you're in the Phoenix area, the local number is 480-874-1311, 480-874-1311, and I'm not sure if the internet simulcast is up this evening, but if it is and someone's out there listening, the toll-free number from outside the Phoenix area is 1-888-437-7660, 888-437-7660. The show on intimacy and relationships, it's kind of an important show to do, and I do it like every month or so because everything we talk about really gets down to the issue of relationships. Telling the truth faster, as I said just before, is about having a healthy relationship, and sometimes the relationship we're talking about is the one within yourself, that you're honest with who you are and you're not rationalizing, intellectualizing, denying, or anything, that the relationship you're creating within yourself and with yourself comes first. And being honest with yourself is the first step in doing that. And my definition of intimacy, and I do workshops on this for many years now, and my working definition is that intimacy is an expression of our natural desire for connection. Intimacy is an expression of our natural desire for connection. Obviously, the key word in there is connection, but also that the important concept in there is that it's natural and that all of us desire it. We were born with the ability to be intimate. We were in the womb. We were as intimate with another human being as we ever will get in our existence when we're connected to our mother in the womb through that umbilical cord. And then we come out, the cord snipped, and many of us spend the rest of our lives trying to get to that place of intimacy, that place of connection physically, emotionally, spiritually, again. And there will never be something that connected as it was when we were so physically and emotionally and spiritually connected to our mother. But many people go through life thinking that if we can't get that, then the relationship isn't good enough. Or if I can't achieve that, then I'm inadequate. And so, again, there's a natural desire for it. If you look at any infant, any newborn, any child under the age of 4 or 5, usually before too much has been beat out of them or too much fear has been instilled in them, there's just this natural light flowing from them. And when you're in their presence, there is an immediate connection. You want to touch them. You want to hold them. They want to touch you. There's an innocence about their touching, their looking, their emotions. There's just this immediate connection. And even with infants and children, there's a psychic connection with many of them. If you've been a parent or you've been around children to any extent, then you know sometimes you know exactly what they're thinking or needing or wanting, and they don't have vocabulary yet because there is a connection that's being made. It's natural, and the job of a therapist and everyone individually in our lives as we become adults is not to learn how to be intimate again, but how to unlearn the things that have been taught to us that create the walls and the barriers to naturally letting that heart open and that space flow from us and to receive it from other people. So I hope I'm being clear about this. It's like people don't need to be taught how to be intimate. You already know it. What needs to be done is how do we unlearn the messages, the emotional fears, the fear and the other emotional blocks that we've developed over years of existence that interfere with that natural connection. That natural connection. If you are in a relationship right now and you feel that, or you feel it momentarily, in other words, at times you feel that kind of connection, and that's what reminds you that you're in love with this individual because there are moments where that connection exists, then you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever had a relationship, and maybe it was one of those moments of love at first sight where everything was just open and connected, usually love at first sight stuff can be that kind of spiritual and emotional connection that I'm talking about. Most of the time it's a fantasy that we have that we're projecting onto this other person, and then as we get to know them we realize they're not what we thought. So while I do believe at that kind of an immediate feeling of love and connection with people because I've experienced it, I often caution people not to be too hasty about buying into that until they really get in touch with what are their own patterns. And that's what I'm asking you right now. What are the patterns you have in relationship that help you understand the dynamics of your current relationship or your lack of a current relationship? Okay? What are the belief systems that you have, that you've been taught about yourself, that says, I don't deserve a relationship, I'm not lovable, I'm not worthy of it, I'm not capable of it, I'm inadequate, I'm, you know, not good enough, or once they get close enough to me and really get to know me, they won't like what they see and they'll leave. You know, these are many common thoughts that people have, common beliefs that people have that, again, if you're not honest with yourself, if you're not able to identify those thoughts and beliefs and tell yourself the truth faster about them, you can't work on healing them. You can't work on changing your mind about these belief systems. I've mentioned a woman named Sandra Ray. In fact, she was a guest on my show a while back. Sandra Ray wrote a book called Loving Relationships. It was her second book about, I think, 30 years ago. And she gets real clear in that. It's a very simple book, and it's out of print right now, but I try and pick up used copies wherever I can in order to give them to clients. And almost every client that I've ever suggested read it has come back and said, these are such simple things, and it just made a difference. But Sandra's way of approaching relationship is something I really believe in. In fact, that's where the phrase tell the truth faster came from. The first time I heard it was through her work, one of her workshops, that we are in relationship with everything in our lives, that we have, and that these relationships very often have similar patterns to them. We have relationship with family. We have relationship with our bodies. We have a relationship with money. We have a relationship with our environment, our home, our car. We have a relationship with our job, our employment. We have, you get the point, that everything is about intimacy and relationships, and our belief systems often dictate how we live our lives in the context of these relationships. So if you're constantly struggling with money, it's the same thing. What money is energy, okay? And if we don't believe that we deserve this energy in our lives and the comfort of having it when we need it or having an abundance of it, it's not going to be there. Or when we get it, like a lot of these lottery winners who go through their money in a year and, you know, all of a sudden they're back where they started, a lot of times it's because they have this belief that they don't deserve it or they didn't earn it. And this ethic says they can't be intimate with this joy and peace. So because of money, we have to take a break right now. So we'll be right back with Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. Please stay tuned and call in when we get back.
Somewhere over the rainbow,
welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and tonight I'm talking about intimacy and relationship issues. And the caller number, if you're in the Phoenix area, is 480-874-1311. That's 480-874-1311. And if the simulcast is going and you're listening outside the Phoenix area, it's 1-888-437-7660. And before the break, I was talking about how we're in relationship with everything in our lives. And very often, the similar patterns are expressed in the context of these various things. And I was talking about money. It's like if you don't believe that you deserve this energy of this abundance, it's the same thing whether it's about money coming into you or whether it's about someone loving you or that free flow of energy back and forth from heart to heart. Now, of course, we all have seen people who are ridiculously wealthy and somehow have the ability to be very successful in whatever they do, and yet they can't keep a good relationship going. And we have other people where they are constantly in debt, overextended, and it's the same thing as, you know, relationships where there's constantly a deficit going on in terms of the relationship that they're in. So all of these things that I'm saying hold true to varying degrees with different people. There was one guy I spoke to today, a gay man, and he's successful in his career, and in fact a high school administrator, and PhD, and had been married many years ago and had a son, and the wife left the two of them many years, and he's been a single father raising this child, and the child has just graduated high school and is going to a very good college in the fall, and he's out traveling after high school graduation. And the father, who was determined to give this kid a great upbringing, be the right father and a great role model, his relationship has been about his son and his job. And it was very interesting today because he was like realizing he was thinking about doing things that would not be fulfilling and not really part of his value system in terms of just trying to find some sexual partners, things like that. And yet he was really struggling with that because it's not part of his value system. It's not the way he wants his son to think of him, and it's not the way he thinks of himself, having anonymous sex. But what's happened is his intimacy has been, and rightly so, with his son all these years, and the commitment to his job, you know, administering all, you know, thousands of students and hundreds of teachers and doing a good job at it. Now his son is out of the house, getting ready to go away to school, and he's lost. He's sad. He's grieving. I mean, I did a show about a year ago on empty nest syndrome, and this is classic. You know, he has no focus for this love and attention immediately. His son doesn't need him the way his son has needed him for 17 or 18 years. And now it's like his first thought was, well, maybe I'll get involved with the church more and make more commitments there. And I said to him, wait a second. What you're doing is you're still trying to fill that void with something to do, someone else to take care of. You still have the job. You still have the students and the teachers. But you're coming home to a sense of emptiness, and you don't know how to be alone. And you've not, since your wife left you, had a healthy gay relationship because you haven't allowed yourself that space or time to do that. So this whole issue of intimacy for him was just so present. And, you know, as educated as he is and as loving and committed a human being as he's already demonstrated himself to be, he doesn't know how to let himself be fed with this. He doesn't know how to open up to meet a guy that's healthy and available, and how to do this and how to be on the receiving end of this for a change. He immediately thought, I need to find someone else to take care of, which in this case would have been getting involved with his church. And I said, before you do that, I said, that's very, very nice, but before you do that, find out what the discomfort is of you taking care of yourself and opening yourself up to the possibility of a healthy partner, a healthy lover, a healthy spouse, so that it's, you can say, it's my time now to do this. I've done my job. His son knows that he's gay. He's no problems with that. But he's never been able to satisfy that part of himself. And so my suggestion, obviously, was get yourself into therapy for now and explore this before you start running to fill all your time, and deal with the grieving of your son's moving out, and deal with the grieving of not being needed by him in the same way, and that you've lost the sense of identity in a certain space where you're not needed as dad on a day-to-day basis. This is something, gay or straight, every parent goes through at some point, and they could do it in a healthy way, or they could drive their kids crazy as they're trying to become adults in their own right and try and maintain control and neediness and everything else, which is usually what would happen if that parent had a primary relationship. My guess is they more than likely would be treating their spouse similarly. Control, neediness, and similar patterns. So in his case, obviously, I recommended therapy, taking time to explore this, explore what his needs are. You know, it may even be that he's afraid to do this, even though it would be with a man at this point, because of the pain that I gather he never had a chance to grieve or deal with the anger of his wife leaving him when his son was 3 years old. That he got so busy having to start raising this child alone that my guess is that there's still a lot of fear and hurt and anger about the relationship with his ex-wife, which never got healed. And one of the most important things in dealing with any healthy relationship, in creating a healthy relationship and attracting a healthy relationship, is clear up your past. Okay? What are the unresolved things? What are the things even with your parents? Maybe the patterns that they exhibited that were not necessarily healthy and intimate and loving. Maybe issues you have with a parent that maybe was abusive or maybe not there. Clear up the past so that you can become more present, so that the person you meet or the person you're already in relationship with, whether it's of the same sex or the opposite sex, it doesn't matter. If you can clear up the past, you're not going to be burdening them with your past. And I think that's almost an obvious statement, but I'm going to explain it anyway. If your experience in your past, in your childhood, was an abusive relationship, that maybe dad or mom was verbally abusive, sexually abusive, physically abusive, or just not there. Neglect is abuse also. Some of you may be going through this now. But if you had a situation like that, what happens? You become an adult, usually, that doesn't trust relationships. Or you attract a partner that is similar to the way you were treated only because it's what's familiar to you. It's what you start believing is what you deserve, what you're worth. It's hard to believe. In fact, if someone comes along that is not that and is loving and caring and gentle and respectful and a healthy person, either you don't, it's not attractive to you, or it scares the hell out of you and you go running in the other direction because you don't know how to relate on that level. Even if it's something that you're craving and that feels so good, that somehow it will get sabotaged because this is not something familiar to you. So clearing up your past, and I'm talking in extremes, I'm talking in abusive and neglect stuff, but many of us, and I won't say 100% of us, but I'd say very close to that, all have some issues. Even if we grew up in the best of households, it's all relative. Usually something mom or dad did or didn't do that we may be holding on to, and someone would say, boy, you think that's a problem, you aren't abused, blah, 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 blah. But for you, relatively speaking, it became an issue. It became a message that you picked up that interferes with your ability to have a healthy, loving relationship. So, we're going to talk more about this when we get back. We're going to take another quick break here. This is Stuart Altschul and Tell the Truth Faster. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altschuler, and tonight's topic has been intimacy and relationships. And I haven't gotten any callers tonight, so either all of you are afraid to talk about your intimacy issues, or you're just listening and totally enwrapped in what I have to say. Either way, I'd love to hear you say that too. So give a call if you're in the Phoenix area. The number is 480-874-1311, 874-1311. I was talking first about the importance of clearing up your past in terms of establishing a really healthy relationship so that you're not dumping all that old stuff onto current relationships, and so that the beliefs and patterns that have been established long ago and stuff are not still driving you into dysfunctional relationships and unhealthy partners that, you know, many of you can look at, if you've had a string of relationships, probably can take a look at the fact that each person you're with, sooner or later, seemed like the same person. And if you stop for a minute and said, who does this remind me of, it probably would be either mom or dad, but not always. But the fact that you think initially this person, oh, this is he or she is so unlike my last relationship, this is going to be great, and 6 months later it's like you're living with the same person in a different body. And that's what we call, you know, repeating these patterns, because something inside you has not healed. And so clearing up the past issues is a first step in doing that, and an important step. And it's not necessarily something we can do on our own. It's something that really is helpful to do in therapy with an individual therapist, or even group therapy, or workshops on relationships, reading books about relationships that, you know, resonate for you in terms of the philosophy and approach of the author. And so clearing up the past is really important. The other issues are drugs and alcohol and addictions. And for some people, the addiction actually may be relationship addictions or love addiction. And again, drugs, alcohol, sex addiction, love addiction, food addiction, you know, they're all different expressions of an addictive process. So recovery is recovery no matter what the issue is, no matter what the behavior is. And any addictive behavior or consumption is another way of blocking intimacy. It's another way of numbing oneself, distracting oneself, another way of keeping enough chaos and drama in your life that you can't receive love or even offer love. And usually the love that you're describing when you're in your addictive modes is usually very dysfunctional in terms of lying and controlling and control battles and sexual jealousies and verbal abuse or physical abuse, all of these sort of things. And again, whether there's addiction is almost going to guarantee the fact that the relationship is going to be, the amount of intimacy is going to be extremely limited. You may love this person dearly who is acting out in some addictive way, but they're not available. Or you may be the one that's acting out in some addictive way. You are not available. And you can rationalize it all you want, but intimacy under those circumstances is near impossible. It doesn't mean it's impossible to love or feel love, but what happens is the drugs, the alcohol, the addictive behaviors are blocking your ability to express it and be present and in the moment with it in a healthy way. It's causing enough chaos where you're in constant remorse about why doesn't he love me, why doesn't she love me, and that you are constantly feeling inadequate, because if you're the one who is the addict or maybe even codependent, you're the one that is feeling inadequate, because if you love them enough, they would not be using. And that has nothing to do with you. They're using is because they're an addict. You're using because you're an addict. Okay? So the things like sexual jealousy and lying and the control battles and all that stuff are all fear-based things. But you don't have to be an addict in order to have control battles in your relationship, in order to have constant lying going on. Remember, the name of the show is Tell the Truth Faster. And yet how many of you know that there are probably a list of a number of things that are secrets in your life from your spouse? How many of you can think about something in the last year that you told a lie about? Even in the most healthy relationship, it's almost taught to us, even though it's going to be found out sooner or later. I mean, we look at any politician who lies and lies and lies, and what happens inevitably, the truth comes out, you know, and why not just get to the truth faster and save all that time, effort, money, heartache, and chaos, get to the truth faster, take responsibility for what's going on, learn from it, or seek help to heal it and not repeat it. Sounds simple, but it's not always the easiest thing to do. So when we're dealing with all of these issues that block our ability to be intimate, to have a healthy relationship in our lives, very often the crux of it is low self-esteem. I mean, listen to all the messages that I've been talking about. I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable, all that stuff. Those are things that have impacted your self-esteem. Those are things that have knocked the wind out of it. And you could be the most physically beautiful person in the world, outwardly. You could be the most talented and creative person in the world. But you still look in the mirror and still think you're worthless. The internal issues have to do with self-esteem. How many of you yourselves are gawked over, man or woman, by other men or women, and yet you look in the mirror and see only the flaws? How many of you know, go to gyms and see these bodybuilders, men and women, that have these exquisite bodies by our standards, but you see them looking in the mirror and what they see is, it's not good enough? Because many people are doing this sort of stuff, from plastic surgery to you know, workouts to you name it. Many of people are looking to fix what's going on inside themselves by trying to change something outside themselves. Now, it's not to say there's something wrong with plastic surgery or whatever, but if the motivation behind it is, well, if I fix my nose or I get my tummy tuck, then I'll feel good about myself and I'll have love in my life, that's not going to happen. You'll find something, if the beliefs are still there that you're not lovable or whatever, you can get that tummy tuck or that nose job, you can put on some muscle, but you still have the belief you're not lovable, which means you're still not going to be able to attract or have a healthy relationship for any length of time, if at all. Okay? And it doesn't matter whether you're heterosexual or homosexual, these things hold true across the board. It's about human nature. It's not about, it has nothing to do with sexual orientation. You know, it's uncanny to me that when I'm working with a heterosexual couple or a homosexual couple, almost always the issues are the same. It's about communication or their inability to communicate. It's about their fears of expressing what they're feeling or asking what they want. Or it's about control battles where somebody's not speaking the truth. I have another couple that I've been working with the last couple of months, and they're in the process of a breakup. I mean, one's already moved out. And in this case, it's another gay couple, but I've had this go on with you know, men and women in relationships too. And the problem is they've been in a relationship for over 6 years and have been great companions, great friends, and sex was okay along the way and stuff, but basically neither one of them knew how to ask for what they really wanted. Sexually or in context of relationship, they were repeating previous relationships in this one, and all of a sudden it's like one of them found somebody else that just woke up this passion inside of him that he hasn't ever felt before. And what they're finding out is, yes, they love each other, yes, they value each other, but they've been separate beings in this relationship in so many ways because there are essences of things that they have not communicated to one another and didn't know how to. And so now it's at a point really beyond repair. The hurt is there tremendously in one. The fear is up in both of them. And, you know, now they're in therapy together as well as individual to work through these issues. And the sad thing is they had an incredible foundation to work with to begin with if they had only understood that there were communication problems to begin with and they could have learned to communicate these things to each other a long time ago. And the investment of these 6 years and the love they feel for each other, and they still feel for each other, could be growing and feeding them and nurturing them instead of feeling the loss of what they could have had or what they have had. Now again, all of you can relate to that. I can relate to it. Okay? And we're going to take another break here and relate to it when we get back. So stay tuned. This is Stuart Altshuler and Tell the Truth Faster.
Somewhere over the rain.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed psychotherapist in Los Angeles, and again, we are dealing with intimacy issues, relationship issues tonight. And if you're in the Phoenix area, you can still have time to call in. We have a few minutes left, about 10 more minutes before the show's over, 480-874-1311. I know there's some people out there listening because I get emails from you, so stop being so afraid to call in. Anyway, hopefully tonight's been helpful for some of you because I haven't done this show on intimacy and relationships in a while. And we can't talk about intimacy without talking about sex, now can we? There are a lot of people who confuse sex with intimacy. And I've certainly done that myself in the past. A lot of people are seeking sex, thinking that's going to give them the intimacy they seek. Well, you know what? There may be some sexual intimacy, there may be some physical intimacy, but the emotional and spiritual and psychic intimacy that completes the picture is not there with a stranger. Sex itself doesn't do it. Now, sex is different from intimacy, and yet sex can be an expression of intimacy. Okay? So the ultimate thing is if you're already feeling a bond and a connection and real love for somebody and are able to express that through love making sexually, you know, that to me is the pinnacle of a connection, of an intimate connection with another human being, to be in love with them and to be able to express that with our bodies as well as our heart and soul is what many of us are seeking. And many of us settle for less than that by having loving but sexless relationships and seeking it outside the relationship or adding to your own level of frustration because you're not getting what you need or not giving your partner what you need and nobody knows how to talk about sex. Right? When you were growing up, you never heard your parents, well, most of us never heard our parents discussing sex. We were never told that this is a topic to have in relationships, and we were never taught how to do it. And so people will pretend for years to be enjoying something when they're miserable in the bedroom. Okay? So be clear about sex. Learn how to talk about it. And start with your partner by saying, you know what? I would like to talk to you about sex, and I don't know where to start, and it's uncomfortable for me. Because I've never done it before, or I don't know how to do it. And your partner will probably agree with you if they're not avoiding the whole thing to begin with. And especially learning how to talk about sex while you're having sex with your partner. You know, everybody thinks it has to be a dark room, and nobody talks, and everybody just goes through anything. Nobody says, that's uncomfortable for me, or, you know, could you do it this way, or how is this for you? So that you're really not just being selfish sexually, but your love for your partner is so strong that you want to make sure you're really pleasing them. And if both people have the same attitude who are in that bed, in that bedroom, or wherever it is you make love or have sex, if both people have that same attitude and you're both asking the same questions and both are willing to answer with the truth, no, that isn't comfortable for me. I would prefer, can we try some experiment here, or and it's not them saying to you you're inadequate sexually. It's saying, I'd like you to learn how to please me, and I want to learn how to please you. We're going to have to work together as a partnership to do that. And it doesn't always mean you're going to get everything you want. Sometimes it means compromise. And if the love and the commitment is there, sometimes it means you're not going to get to play out your certain fantasies anymore that were there. But the sex is still good, and it's loving, and it's pleasing. And over time, you might be able to explore and experiment with other things, but there are so many other parts of that relationship that are healthy and wonderful because of the communication that the sex becomes a natural extension of that. And what breaks up a lot of relationships is during their single years or initially when they meet is that there's this peak experience sexually of the newness of it and the excitement of it and maybe the anonymity of it. And then, you know, the more you're in the relationship, the longer, the more familiar things are, it's hard to play out certain roles, or you think that you're not loving them as much because the sex isn't as hot. It takes work to keep the hotness there, but it also takes acceptance of that expression sexually becomes a more peaceful, quiet, intimate, fulfilling thing, and not the necessarily a continuation of that hot, passionate stuff. The passion is still there and still growing, because with the communication it does that. But the sex itself tends usually over time in a relationship to become a much more nurturing and playful thing, but not necessarily that high adrenaline rush. It takes work to keep that going. It is possible, but people tend to like where it gets to with the closeness. So be clear about sex. And if sex is an issue for you, again, be in therapy. Work on it. Don't let it interfere with your ability. Maybe you're feeling inadequate. Maybe you feel sex is dirty. Maybe you feel there's shame attached to it. Whatever it is, those are the things about your past you need to clear up. Okay? Create mutuality. That the relationship goes in both directions. That the giving and the receiving is a natural flow in both directions. Just like I said with the sexual stuff, I'm talking about this emotionally also. What do you need? What can I do to support you, to nurture you? How do you? What would you like? And that your partner is asking you the same thing. It's so important for keeping the love going and to have a healthy relationship. Of course, initially, choosing a healthy partner is paramount. And if you fall in love and you realize that there are things that are not healthy about you or both of you, then seek help. If there's a foundation and there's love there, don't let your pride, don't let your fear get in the way. Yes, it will be uncomfortable. Therapy is uncomfortable. If it wasn't, you probably didn't need to be in it in the first place. Or you're totally in denial and you're not absorbing any of it, or you're totally in your head. But yes, it will be uncomfortable. Becoming vulnerable, for most of us, is uncomfortable until we find that there are benefits in it. And we start feeling the joy that comes from working these things through. Until we start feeling the loving closeness that comes, the more honest we start getting and the more we're able to communicate in the moment with somebody that we love. It gets reinforced when the joy starts increasing, when you start feeling safer and safer, when you know that if your partner does something that's uncomfortable to you, chances are it's about their own issues and not about you. It's about something they're afraid of. It's about something that just maybe happened naturally out of their own subconscious patterning. That you stop personalizing everything and are able to step back and realize that maybe something's going on with them, that they're behaving like this. They may want to get into it, they may not want to get into it. But that's how you take care of yourself, by not seeing everything as a personal attack on you. Okay? And if they are attacking you, it's usually out of their own fear, out of their some old anger or something that triggered that may have nothing to do with you that they need to work through. And you can be a loving support to encourage them to do that, but you can't make them do it. You can only take care of yourself, keep the space you need, and if somebody's out of control, remove yourself from it and find a loving way to support them if it's possible. If not, loving yourself enough to know when to step away. Now, if it's a real healthy relationship, the other thing is trusting that you're loved, so that the jealousy isn't there, so that you're not constantly, like I said, interpreting everything as if this is the end or this is This is another sign that I'm unlovable. But to trust that you're loved still means clearing up your past. So, I'm going to leave you with clearing up your past tonight. I want to thank you for listening. I'm here every Tuesday night at KXAM. This is Stuart Altshuler and Tell the Truth Faster. Tune in next week, and have a good week. Thank you.
The rainbow way up high in the land that I heard.